I will be playing some music in the background, which most people, not all, but most people find that it facilitates their relaxation and helps you move to a different level of experience, a right-brain kind of experience. And the first part of the exercise will be inducing that level of relaxation. And then I simply encourage you to follow the direction that I provide. There'll be some periods of silence, and you are to use that silence in ways that are helpful for you. I'll usually give you some direction of what to do during that time. If you find that that your own inner experience leads you in a different direction than I'm leading you, that's perfectly all right. That will often happen. Don't be disturbed by that or feel like you've got to pay strict attention to what I'm telling you to do. Sometimes thoughts will come into your mind, almost always as a matter of fact. That's simply the characteristic of our mental state. Don't get preoccupied with that. Just let it go. It will fade away. And you'll find that you'll return to your own kind of centeredness in what we're doing. When I do guided imagery exercise, I usually have my eyes closed. But we have a good centering piece here. And it may be helpful for you simply to have your attention drawn here as a kind of centering for you. The main thing that I think is important is that you're not distracted by something going on outside or by looking at me, because this is an inward journey, and what you need to pay attention to is what's going on inside of you and your own experience. I think that's all I need to say in advance. The first exercise that I'm going to do, I told you about yesterday. It's an exercise to help you revisit your own baptism. And the power of the imagination is that you can do that even if you're baptized as a small child. Because important events in our lives are always worth revisiting, especially when they provide a kind of spiritual center for our lives. We're encouraged to remember our baptism frequently, but we're not given much help in doing that. And so most people remember baptism as a doctrine, and that's fine. But finding a way to re-enter it in terms of experience, I think, is helpful. Could somebody close that window shade back there?
Just one?
No, we got just one. That one disturbs me. The other one. gradually letting the tension fade away until you feel as relaxed and limp as an old rag doll, resting quietly and calmly, letting your breathing come slowly and regularly. Concentrate on your breathing in and your breathing out. Letting yourself become one with the rhythm of your body. Letting your inner self become as still as a lake that mirrors the woods behind it. Letting your worries and fears flow from you as rainwater flows from the roof of the house. Finding deep within yourself a center that is a place of quiet and tranquility, far removed from the disorder and disruption that characterizes so much of our life. Letting thoughts become less turbulent and feelings less intense. You may not have been old enough to remember your baptism as an infant. Use your imagination to go back to the day of your baptism and picture it in your mind's eye. Picture a church setting, either the actual church where you were baptized, or the one that you create in your imagination right now. Picture the worship setting in which your baptism takes place. Perhaps a church service, or maybe just a large family gathering. If you were baptized as an infant, imagine yourself being held securely in the arms of someone you trust. It might be your mother, your father, a godparent, or anyone that you would want to hold you. Feel how good it is to be held securely by someone who holds you well, someone you trust. Think of the people that you would like to be there. People you know now as well as people who would have known you then. You can decide who should be there. Select people who have nurtured and sustained you in your identity as a child of God. Imagine them all surrounding the font or place of baptism as part of a large family gathering. Thank you. imagine the pastor or priest that you would like to baptize you. It can be the person who actually did baptize you, or it can be a pastor of your own choosing, someone you know now, or someone in the past who is a wisdom figure for you. Feel the touch on your forehead as the sign of the cross is made, reminding you that you have been redeemed by Christ. Feel the water being poured over your head, or imagine what it might be like to be fully immersed in water. And hear the words that are spoken as the water flows over your body. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Feel the cleansing that comes with the washing of the water and the promise of forgiveness. Hear the word of promise assuring you that nothing that could possibly happen to you would ever leave you all alone. Sense the presence of the risen Christ all around you. Sense the presence flowing in you and through you until you can say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Feel the energy of the new life that is God's gift to you. Feel its power, its permanence, its immortality. Let a sense of your oneness with the risen Christ grow in your heart. Transport you beyond any suffering of the present time, beyond the worries and terrors that fill the waking day and sometimes haunt your dreams. Feel the safety, the security, and the reassurance that comes with the experience of being baptized. Imagine yourself being held securely by the everlasting arms of God as you listen to a voice speaking in the same soothing tone that a mother would use with her child. You are baptized. You are baptized. Nothing can separate you from my love. which is in Christ and embedded deeply within you. You are baptized. You are my beloved child. I will always be with you. Return from this experience to where we are now, feeling refreshed and renewed by the healing waters of your baptism. But do that slowly. Be gentle with your human spirit. Personal experience for many people that they don't have a strong sense of the need to share, but often it can be helpful for others to have some sense of your own journey through an experience like that. So I'll allow a few minutes for any sharing that you'd like to do on the basis of that.
You know, it was interesting when you talked about the baptism in the church. I was 4 years old when I was baptized, and it was done in our apartment, which is what was done many years ago. The pastors would travel with their font, you know. But I don't remember the baptism itself. I just remember people being here in the font, and in order to actually envision a baptism, I had to transport myself to my current church and, you know, go from there.
Mm-hmm. Was that disturbing for you to do that?
No, it wasn't disturbing, but I couldn't get anywhere with picturing our apartment in the font, uh-huh. And so it was easier for me because I've seen baptisms at our church. It was easier to me to, you know, transfer there and envision that.
Yeah.
And envision that setting.
Well, one of the wonderful things about the imagination is that it can be very creative.
Mm-hmm.
And a good bit of our memory is recreation anyway. We never remember anything the way it actually was. We reconstruct it on the basis of present experience. And even if you cannot specifically remember your baptism, you can recreate the experience in a way that makes it more real.
I was baptized by the universe, totally, you know, like a pool almost in front of the church. And I can remember that I was wearing a robe like I had in the hospital when I was immersed each time, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I think we call them. I remember. I must have been 13.
Mm-hmm.
picture myself being held at the altar. I remember a photograph of my father. I have a twin sister, and I remember a photograph of my father holding myself and my twin sister. So I pictured my father holding us both up at the altar. I couldn't picture my mother doing it because she was very small.
I had one woman share with me after doing this exercise that she had a phobia of water. She couldn't even take a bath because water was so frightening to her. And she never knew the reason. It must have been some childhood experience of that. And after doing this exercise in relation to the waters of baptism, the phobia disappeared. She wrote, I really appreciated her sharing, that going back to water and seeing it as life-giving and recreating and renewing just eliminated that fear. And she was just very grateful for that new way of understanding water. New experience, not more experience than understanding.
When John baptized Christ, was he immersed in the Jordan?
I assume that he was.
I would think so.
Yeah. Yes, I've used this exercise myself to do what you described in terms of immersion, because there's a symbolism in being totally immersed that is very powerful, I think.
My problem with the baptism image was that I had no trouble getting concretizing the immediate situation, except the baptismal font kept moving from one side of the church to the other. I couldn't get that stabilized.
Yeah.
But once I decided on the side of the church, I couldn't remember where it was. The church had been redesigned somewhat. Anyhow, my imagery at that point kept enlarging too much so that it distracted me from being able to achieve the comfort that I wanted from imagining being held in some kind of safe embrace or whatever. So my mind would go outside the church, and I would see the outside structure, and then it would go down the steps that lead up to the church where my farm home was, just down across the valley. So I really wrestled with that for a while, and I never did achieve the kind of feeling of real relaxed comfort of being held that I wanted to.
Yeah, too much going on in the observation.
I suppose practice would help to be able to stabilize an image that way. Does that happen to anybody else, that the image moves larger and smaller than you?
Oh, yes. And I think depending upon the kind of exercise, I think that often happens with re-entering an experience that may have some contact with memory, that it just touches off an imagination. Your imagination reaches into all kinds of different sectors that releases. So I think control is harder with that. But you're right, the more you do it, the more there is an ability to focus on one thing and center the experience more. I think that's true. And it varies from day to day, because one day there may be a readiness, particularly for a particular kind of experience, that makes it very powerful and very deep. And another day, you may either be so physically tired or preoccupied that nothing happens. So there's no guarantee or certainty about what any experience will be.
I was surprised at how easily I could transport myself from this setting right here. That I thought that would be more of a problem, but it wasn't at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to do another exercise with you in the Healing Presence, which I'm taking these exercises from. There are some for healing, some for wellness, and some for recovery. I want to do one with you out of the wellness section, and it's called Relaxing into the Love of God. I think that a lot of imagery has been used for relaxation, and it's very helpful for people, particularly in relation to stress-induced kinds of illnesses, and where recovery is there is some need for relaxation as part of that. The problem I have with a lot of the relaxation imagery is that it is limited solely to nature. It's a nature imagery. And I use that also, but I think that for those who come out of the Christian tradition, that needs to be rooted more deeply into nature's God. And that's what I'm trying to do in this exercise that I want to lead you through now. Sitting in quiet and calm, letting your body become heavy and your spirit light, letting your eyes gently close and your breathing come evenly and slowly. As the stillness deepens, adjusting to the rhythm of your breathing, breathing in and breathing out, body and mind becoming quieter with the steady rhythm of your breathing. Bringing stillness and peace to your inner being. Letting any concerns and problems float away like balloons carried aloft by gentle winds. Hearing the sounds of silence. Feeling the soft beauty of the inner world that beckons you deeper and deeper into the center of your being. Centered within your inner being, conscious only of your breath moving in and moving out of the center of your being, letting the quiet deepen within the center of yourself, feeling God's Spirit moving within you. Waiting calmly for the awareness of God's presence to grow and fill the depths of your inner spirit with the aid of your imagination. Picture a broad mountain meadow surrounded by tall snow-covered peaks. Perhaps someplace within the Holden area. In the meadow is a large lake filled with deep blue water, fed by mountain streams, one of which is flowing into the lake near where you are standing. Though the sun is bright on this warm summer day, the gentle breeze feels cool in the high mountain air, Feel the breeze on your face and arms. And notice how it softly sways the tops of the pine trees. Listen to the lapping of the waves against the shoreline. Breathe in the fresh, clean, clear air of this mountain paradise. Each breath filling you with new energy and peace. Imagine that you are walking along the shore of this lake. It is late in the afternoon, and the sun is moving toward the horizon. The sun is a golden, blazing yellow, and the sky a brilliant blue. The water of the lake mirrors the snow-capped mountains. Hear the call of familiar birds in the woods nearby. Let the beauty of the surroundings fill your soul with a deep sense of peace and contentment. Luxurious grass on the crest of the mound and look out over the lake. Transfixed by the beauty of the scene, you gaze intently at the light of the sun reflected in the deep blue water of the lake. Feel the presence of God in this place, in the sunlight on the water, in the sounds of lake and forest, in the air you are breathing, in the mystery of nature's beauty. Knowing you can see more deeply into things than before. That you can hear more than your ear could ever discern. That you can know the truth at the core of your being as you never did before. Resting quietly in the center of yourself, you are aware of the presence of the Spirit of God within you and around you. in all that there is. Summer flowers of many colors all around you. The words of the psalmist come to mind. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. A moment to reflect on the goodness of life and its swift passage. Sink deeply into that love, knowing that it will never end. Take a moment to reflect on the difference between this moment of inner peace and joy, which will fade, and the steadfast love of God, which is forever. Say within yourself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." With your next breath, do the same. As you exhale, say within yourself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Continue with that breath prayer of blessing until I tell you to stop. Feeling yourself surrounded by God's love. Imagining yourself nestled safely in a blanket, held within the powerful but gentle hands of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. as you feel ready, gently bring yourself back to this room and the company of others who share your faith and hope. Refreshed in body and soul by your experience of deep relaxation and the awareness of the presence of God, and knowing that you can return to this place anytime that you wish, to renew your sense of peace and purpose.
Silences say, and you stop.
Yeah.
No.
It could have gone longer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I really would have lost you.
Yeah.
It's great.
If you do these as one who leads them, what you'll discover is that time seems very long as the one who's doing the exercise. And I always have a tendency to cut it shorter than I should, because I'm aware of the time when most people who are into the exercise are not.
How much time was spent on this last one?
Well, on the last one there was 2 minutes for the breath prayer experience.
Did the whole thing when you started this last sequence?
Oh, I'm not sure. 20
minutes. 20? Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I would have said 5.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you do lose a sense of the passage of time when you really get deep inside yourself on an experience like this. You don't need any special training to do this. The first chapter of my book, I give some sort of general directions for doing this, whether it be for yourself or for a group. But the only thing you need to pay attention to if you lead this is that obviously you have to slow the pace of your speaking, and to have it facilitate the process, it can't be, I mean, if you're from the Bronx or Long Island, you have to really work at making your voice less clipped and more of a soothing kind of guiding type of thing. And it's helpful to listen to yourself on by using a tape to get a feel for that. because we're not often used to listening to our own voices.
I'm struck by the way that we order our time so that other less modern cultures relax by a little bit. Lunch, nap in the afternoon, and then go back to work.
That's right.
And you're so time oriented.
Yeah, we really are.
We missed yesterday's, and I guess it's coming to my mind, but if we were doing this for ourselves, isn't there a conflict of the left brain, right brain, occurring as you're instructing yourself?
Yes, we talked about that.
Oh.
There is, because as you're reading it, it's a left brain. See, this exercise for me is the left brain thing as I do it.
Yeah.
So I've gotten better at that, of being able to get myself into the actual experience. But it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes it hard to do that by reading it, and why I encourage that if you're doing these for yourself, that you do it into a tape recorder and then play. Let that guide you.
There's an aspect of the process that is difficult for me, and that is that there's a difference between my imagining myself in that mountain setting, for example, and feeling myself there. That's an extremely important thing. So I have no trouble whatsoever of imagining myself there.
Yes.
But to be able to, when you got into the part there where we were to feel, feeling is different than imagining.
Yeah.
I wanted to feel my body supported, okay, by a divine power, okay? And that's very different from imagining myself in that place. Is that, do you understand that?
Oh, I do, and that's a very helpful distinction, and I hadn't made it before. The purpose of the exercise, of course, is to feel it, to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And so more than just imagining it
sure.
in the sense of, I can see myself there, but I'm not really there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to carry you there, whether you're re-entering an earlier experience by memory or anticipating something or just imagining it.
The problem that I had related to that same effort was when you suggested to, I don't know if your word was imagine or feel ourselves in the hands of God. Mm-hmm. Immediately, the imagery of God's hands created a problem for me.
Yeah.
Because I have difficulty concretizing a physical God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I tried to give God some hand, but I finally just said, to heck with it.
That's right.
And that then I was able to imagine, to concretize myself in this setting without any physical characteristic of God. And I was wafted on the air. I was suspended. I was absolutely supine in this place. And the mountains started going away. And things closed around me of just kind of a darkness. But there was a circle of opening over here as if I was in a large tunnel, but not sharp line, but dark blue and fading off to lighter blue, and that's about when it ended. So I felt almost that I was able to feel that as well as see it. I felt I was making progress then once I got rid of God's hands.
Yeah, that's very helpful feedback. It's because it's the danger you have of taking a metaphor like the everlasting arms of God.
Yeah.
And then changing it into a concrete image, and it has exactly the problem that you're mentioning, that it can get in the way. The other image I have in there is imagining God's love like a blanket around you. Mm-hmm. That works better for me.
For me it was air.
And for you it's
supporting air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like that image.
For some reason, I kept going around in my mind with Michelangelo's creation of the hand of God, which is the.
Mm-hmm.
I kept going through my
whole
maybe that's the support, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
See.
All my imagery, the first and the second was all in a circle, and I don't know whether it's the influence of this heart or whether it's like the alpha and omega. You know, I just, I'm trying to figure out if I would be having everything, every thought, it was symbolized like in a circle.
That's interesting.
And I don't, you know, I really want to know whether it would be the same way in another room or another.
It could very well be, but just the configuration is.
I was just going to say, this room is very conducive to this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have to really be very careful about what type of room you do this in.
You're right.
Sharp angles are bad.
That's right. And if it's, I mean, the noises are distracting. It'd be better if you could eliminate those as well.
I didn't even hear them.
But I've discovered that it works, it can work almost anywhere, because I did this in a busy hospital in a room for some nurses, and what I didn't realize before I started the exercise, it was a room also where they had their coats. This was in the winter, and it came at break time, so there were a whole bunch of nurses coming in and out of there to get their coats, and it still worked. The feedback I had from the exercise. So, but the setting does make a difference, I think.
A room with good vibes.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever told the participants at the beginning of the session that you are going to work with them as you did here, and then let them know that at some point you were simply going to go away, and they could just stay there as long as they wanted to without any need to move, you know, if they had all afternoon to sit there or an hour or two. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't, but I like the idea. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because I like the thought. Because often I have found that the ending is abrupt for some people, and that they would relish that. Maybe it's because most of what I've done in guided imagery has been in the context of a classroom, and that has built-in deadlines.
Sure. I felt that people here could have left, and I could have remained in that act.
Yeah, that's helpful. I want to keep that in mind for the future.
Have you worked with all ages, or that any that you haven't worked with? Does it work better for people of some ages?
Well, I have not worked with anybody lower than the high school age, so I don't know what would work with children, but I've talked to elementary school teachers who say they use it and find it very helpful. My sense is that the greatest time of readiness is middle age and beyond. Jung talks about that, of a deepening spirituality that is simply part of the life cycle, a kind of readiness for deeper symbolism and deeper inner experience. I don't know whether that's because you come to a time in life where the demands on you for the care of children and the care of all the things you have to do in terms of business or whatever it is are lessened. That may be it. It may have something to do with the recognition that there are more days behind you than there are ahead of you, and so you become more reflective about life and its meaning. But generally speaking, I think there's a deeper readiness later in life. And I've used it a lot with older adults, and find it very meaningful to them, although you have to choose. I discovered when you do it, and like right after lunch is not a good time, because this can easily induce sleep, and there are times it works better.